You ever play hide and seek? Reese says she has. I'm sure the rest of us have too, haven't we? We always try to find a good place to hide, and eventually it's time for somebody to come and look for you. I think sometimes we get to thinking that because we can hide from each other, that we can hide from God, but that's not the case. There are some things from which we just simply cannot hide. Of course, we can't hide from God. The record of Jonah reminds us that we can't hide from God. Jonah, of course, was charged by God to go and preach to the people of Nineveh, and Jonah didn't want to do that. The people of Nineveh were a wicked people. They were the enemies of Israel. If God was going to destroy the enemies of Israel, then if they didn't repent, then I'm not going to tell them what they need to do to be saved. Just let them be destroyed. And so Jonah ran away. Didn't work out so good for him. He finally repented, and God set him on the mission that he had first called him for. And he must have been a good preacher, because they're told that the whole city repented. They turned to God. But Jonah tried to hide from God and tried to hide from his responsibility. And he ended up in the belly of a great fish. Doesn't sound like a pleasant place to be. David was aware of the omnipresence of God. That's just a fancy way of saying God is everywhere. Omni means all inclusive. God is everywhere. And that's amazing, isn't it? Psalm 139 and verses 7 through 12 says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I hide? How can I get away from God? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend into heaven, you are there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness shall fall on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you." Now, in this psalm, David isn't saying, "I'm trying to hide from God." He's celebrating in the fact that God is everywhere. That everywhere he goes, in whatever condition he's in, he's glad that God is there. He's glad that he's in fellowship with God. He rejoices in the fact that even in darkness, he's aware of the light of God. It is a comforting thought to know that they are, when they know that they're doing what's right, to know that God is everywhere, to know that God is present with us, that no matter where we go and what we do, God is there. But it is a troubling truth to those who are doing what is wrong. Maybe we talked about a few weeks ago about our conscience and how our conscience is educated, hopefully with truth, and it will remind us of when we're doing wrong. It'll make us feel uneasy when we're doing that which is wrong. We're aware that God sees and we're aware that God knows. And hopefully that will turn us to do the will of God as he's revealed it in his word. But we cannot hide from God. We cannot hide from his word. And we cannot hide from the things from which God holds us accountable. Do we try to do that? From time to time, I think we do. And there are certainly many people who do, who have deceived themselves into thinking that they can hide from God and hide from their responsibilities to God. But the fact of the matter is that God is everywhere. He knows everything. He knows even the very thoughts and the intentions of our heart. He knows why you're here today. He knows whether you're worshiping Him today in spirit and in truth, in true reverence for God, or if you're just going through some actions of worship. It is indeed a comforting thought to know that no matter what trial I might be going through, what trouble I might be going through, what difficulty I'm going through, God is there with me. So we often notice in the book of Hebrews, the promise of God is restated there. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. As long as we abide in His will, He abides with us. In whatever difficulty or whatever joy that we have. We cannot hide from our troubles. Sometimes we try to do that too. That doesn't work out too good, does it? Because of sin, man has the potential to live a very troubled life. What do I mean by that? Well, think about the Garden of Eden and what happened. We're not in the Garden of Eden anymore, are we? We're made subject to the troubles of life, the thorns and the weeds and the difficulties that were not present in the Garden of Eden are present in this arena of trouble. Some of our troubles are self-inflicted, but many, if not most, of our troubles are the consequence of Adam and Eve's sin. At least it puts us into the arena of trouble and difficulty. David expressed a desire to fly away from his troubles. In Psalm 55 and verses 4 through 8, we read, "My heart is severely pained within me, and the terrors of death have fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling have come upon me, and horror has overwhelmed me. So I said, oh, that I had the wings like a dove. I would fly away and be at rest. Indeed, I would wander far off and remain in the wilderness. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest." But he couldn't fly away from his troubles, could he? But as we just noticed a little bit ago, he was also aware that in the midst of his troubles, God was with him. That he had the strength to overcome. But sometimes we think that we can fly away from our troubles. We think we can fly away from our conscience that is convicting us and saying, look, you're wrong, you need to get right with God. And so we'll run away. Run away from the Word of God. We'll stop reading it. Stop letting it convict us and educate us. Educate our conscience. I don't want to know what's right and what's wrong. But it won't work. We'll run away from the people of God. But that doesn't give us any peace or comfort. We can't run away from our troubles. We have to deal with them. And we have an almighty God who is right there with us to help us deal with our troubles. Instead, God gives us the strength to sustain us through our trials, allowing them to make us better people. A little bit later there in Psalm 55 and verse 22, we read, "Cast your burden upon the Lord." Don't run away from your burden. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain you. He shall never permit the righteous to be moved. Cast your burden upon the Lord, and He might sustain you. He'll think about sustaining you. No, He will sustain you. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. If you are committed to practicing righteousness, God is going to make sure that you stand. God sustains us through His Word, through prayer, through association with faithful people, and with providence. The worst thing that we can do, and when we're troubled and we have troubles, is to stop reading the Word of God and to stop praying and to stop assembling with brothers and sisters in Christ and associating with faithful people. The worst thing we can do is disassociate ourselves from God in our times of trouble and all that He has given us to build us up and to strengthen us. Sometimes we try to run away from our responsibilities. Although it is possible for us to neglect our responsibilities, we do so at the expense of our credibility with man and with our fellowship with God. We put off till tomorrow what needs to be done today, what we have to do, responsibilities that we have. Jonah ran from his God-given task. Elijah fled from his work as a prophet. And you might say, well, I can understand how Elijah felt the way that he did. I mean, here he has this showdown with the prophets of Baal, and he says, you know, you build your altar and your sacrifice, and you call on your God and to bring the fire, and then I'll build my altar and my sacrifice and bring the fire, call on God to bring the fire. Well, their prophets failed, and God, of course, prevailed through Elijah. Great victory is won. The people turned their hearts back to God. And Jezebel vowed that Elijah would be killed. And so Elijah runs into the mountains where he can't be found. God found him. And God, what are you doing here, Elijah? Well, I don't know what else to do, God. I mean, if that showdown with the prophets of Baal didn't convince Jezebel, I don't know what will. So I'm the only faithful person that's left on the face of the earth. I just came up here to find a cave to die in. And God said, you're not the only faithful person. I've got 3,000 down there. You're not going to convince everybody, Elijah. Not everybody wants to be convinced. Some people just want to run away from their responsibilities. You know, and I'm not going to force anybody to do what they want to do, but Elijah, I think you really want to do what's right. You don't belong here. You belong down there. God found him, challenged his thinking, and told him to return to his post. Jeremiah grew discouraged in his work. In Jeremiah chapter 20 and verses 7 through 9, we read, O Lord, you induced me and I was persuaded. You are stronger than I and have prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me, for when I spoke, I cried out. I shouted, violence and plunder, because the word of the Lord was made to me a reproach and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I was weary of holding it back, and I could not. I had to let it out. I spoke your word, and people spoke against me. It was not politically correct for me to tell people they needed to repent and serve God. People spoke all kinds of bad things about me. And so I said, you know, that just got to me. So I just said, well, if that's the way they're going to treat me, then because I'm speaking these things, then I'm just not going to speak them anymore. Did you ever feel like Jeremiah? Did you ever let the politically correct bullies bully you into not speaking the truth of God's word? and standing up for righteousness and godliness. Yeah, every one of us, if we're honest with ourselves, has said, yeah, there was times I should have spoke up that I didn't. And that's exactly what political correctness wants to do, is to shut you up. They don't want to hear the truth. But they need to hear the truth. They're going to hear the truth. If they hear the truth now, they might be saved. But we're going to be judged by that word of truth on the day of judgment. Jesus in John chapter 3 said, I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. And that's true. He came on a mission of salvation. He spoke the words of truth for our salvation. But he says these same words are going to judge you in the last day. We can allow them to judge us now or to judge us later. But if they judge us later, it will be too late to repent and to live a life of righteousness. We will be condemned to an eternity of torment. Jeremiah could not keep from preaching God's word. Oh, that we would have the heart of Jeremiah. That regardless of what people say about us, that the truth of God burns within us and a love for the lost who are trying to destroy us would compel us to speak the truth, to speak up, and let people know the will of God. There are times that we grow weary of our responsibilities. You know, I've been doing this for a long time. I've been telling people what they need to do and patient with them and trying to bring them along, and they just won't do the right thing. But people of character stick with the task and fulfill their obligations. They might not ever do the right thing, but they need to continue to hear. They need to continue to be encouraged. They need to continue to be encouraged to walk in that pathway of righteousness that God has shown us. And if you don't do it, who will? Don't give up. I know it's easy for us to just say, well, I want to just give up on that one. Don't ever give up on anybody. Always fulfill your responsibility to let your light shine. Don't hide it under a basket of bullies who want you to be quiet. Don't hide it under a basket of self-preservation. Don't hide it under a basket of people who want to do their own will rather than the will of God. Don't let your desire to sin and gratify the lust of the flesh hide the light of Christ that burns within you. Let it be seen. Don't ever get tired of letting that light shine. We cannot hide from the consequence of our sins. In Numbers 32 and verse 23, it says, be sure your sin will find you out. Romans 2 and verses 5 through 11, it says, in accordance with your hardness and your impenitent heart, you are treasuring up for yourself wrath in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render to each one according to his deeds. Eternal life to those who by patient continuance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality. But to those who are self-seeking and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish on every soul of man that does evil. But glory, honor, and peace to everyone who works what is good. For there is no partiality with God. There is no partiality with God. Don't harbor your sin. Don't say, well, I can hold on to this sin. Be pure as he is pure. Be holy as he is holy. Do you see the common denominator of our sin and our desire to hold on to our sin? Doing our own self-will. May we all have the Spirit of Christ. Not my will, but God's be done. To His praise and to His glory. There is no peace, no place to hide from our sin and the consequences of practicing it. We need to let the Word of God convict us of our sin and stop practicing sin. Ultimately, the penalty will come if we don't. We'll be told to depart from Him. The fact of the matter is that we've already departed from Him. We've just deceived ourselves into thinking that we can be in fellowship with Him while still practicing our sin. The only proper way for us to deal with our sin is to admit it and to seek forgiveness on God's terms. If one is a Christian, this, of course, requires repentance, confession, and prayer for forgiveness, as we see Simon was told in Acts chapter 8 and verse 22. Repent and pray God. Perhaps the thoughts of your heart might be forgiven you. 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, and many other passages we talk about. James 5 and so forth. We confess our sins one to another and pray for one another that you might be healed. But if one is not yet a Christian, this of course requires belief, repentance, confession, and baptism. And then all of us are to continue to abide in His Word. Prove ourselves to be a true disciple. This is our responsibility. A child of God is not saved just for the sake of being saved. A child of God is saved to be yoked with God in the work of seeking and saving those who are lost. To let God's light shine on the face of this earth. We cannot hide from our responsibility. We cannot hide from troubles. We cannot hide from God. We try. We deceive ourselves. We allow Satan to deceive us. We need to continually turn to the light of God's truth so we might always be found in agreement and in fellowship with Him. If you're here today and you know that you're not right with God, you know you're hiding from God, you know what's the right thing to do, you might be like you were when you were playing hide and seek, say, I've got a pretty good hiding place here. But you know what? Jesus is coming. Ready or not, here I come. Are you ready? Let Him find you now. Repentant and trusting, loving and obeying Him, living to His glory. Don't wait any longer. We'd encourage you to come as we stand and sing this song.